Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Engage to Flourish podcast. This is Damon, I got Kyle, I got Brett, and we have a very special guest returning to the show, Sakura Reese. Welcome back, Sak.
Hi,
Seasoned guest.
I'm not seasoned.
Seasoned veteran.
She's probably been on at least once every year, right? So you're a veteran because you're an annual regular.
I come back periodically.
There we go, I like that.
And it's interesting how you came to the show today for today's recording because we originally had a different guest lined up. They called in this morning saying that they weren't feeling well. So we'll have them on when they are feeling well, and we'll just leave it up to your imagination to see if you can guess who that person is. But so we reached out and asked Sak if she was available, and she was. So Sak, can you share a little bit about how you're here today and kind of how it applies to what we're talking about?
Yeah. So this guest, quote unquote, is sick, but that also gave me an opportunity to say, you know, yes to, you know, being obedient basically to not only God, but to my boss. And since it's kind of appropriate being on the topic of, you know, being obedient, just to act quickly and not think about it and just go for it. So, yeah, this is just me being awkward me and saying yes and just regretting it.
Because I know me and Damon were talking and he's like, oh, I'm going to ask Sak. And then it was like shortly after he's like, she said yes. Like that was quick. So I'm like, you didn't mess around.
I didn't hesitate.
You didn't give yourself any time for excuses, huh?
No. No.
Not even she said yes. I said, she's coming right now.
Oh, yeah. That's what you said. I'm like, wow.
So if you haven't guessed, we're continuing our series on Awe of God. And this past Sunday, Pastor Barry gave a message on week four. And the topic for week four is all about obedience. And so it was kind of appropriate that in this week of obedience, Sak said, I just heard a message on obeying immediately, so I had to say yes right away.
Yeah, so in that chapter, John Bevere talks about five different things about obedience. He mentions obey God immediately, obey God even if it doesn't make sense, obey God even when you don't see a personal benefit. That one's an ouch sometimes for me. Obey God even if it's painful. Obey God to completion.
Oh. Right, Kyle? Yeah. So, I thought you were going to throw out a question or something.
Well, no, I mean, you were talking about it's her being obedient. That's what it was. That was one of the five things, mm-hmm. And that's one of the ones that stuck out to you.
But. Yeah. Yeah. But also, it's been something that has been on my radar just to, I think as, you know, being spiritually led, you know, a lot of times we have that 20-second rule. I think somebody threw it out there.
Oh, this is the first I've heard of a 20-second rule. I think you need to explain.
Oh, well, okay. So I'm part of this other small group called the Jesus Encounter. And we made a vow to each other saying that whenever God prompts us to do something, that we won't answer with a no, that we're going to answer with a yes. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, because it's, you know, it does require a sense of obedience. You know, let's try to get it done in 20 seconds before our mind tries to, you know, convince us otherwise. And so that's where the 20-second rule kind of came up. But it could be 30 seconds, but any more than that, I think, you know, we tend to kind of just start to drift off and say, oh, well, I have to go do this or I don't have time.
Or sometimes even good intentions, but, oh, I'll get to that later.
And right.
Meaning you want to, but then you get 10,000 other things in front of you, and then you totally forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
So not it's not always, I think, avoidant. Sometimes it's just, yeah, if you don't act on it right away, it just slips your mind.
Yeah.
So what's the most incredible testimony that you have regarding the 20-second rule for yourself? I think people want to hear that. At least I want to hear that.
This morning.
Just kidding. Right? I would say So recently I had the opportunity to share the gospel with my dad. Mm-hmm. My parents are, background is Buddhist, and I don't have very many opportunities to share about God. And we were just in a conversation, and an opportunity rose up, and I kind of felt like God was just saying, okay, here's your entry point. Like, what are you going to do, and what are you going to ask? And so it kind of just bit by bit, I was able to share. And just kind of praying as I was sharing, like, you know, I pray that I can get to the end of the gospel, that you know, I don't get interrupted. But yeah, surely I was able to do so. And I didn't realize that I had done that until I was driving home. Did I then realize that, oh, I just shared the gospel with my dad? And it's just interesting that things like that kind of get dropped on your lap, and it's just a matter of, okay, is this, should I do it now? So it's not even 20 seconds. It's sometimes like in that moment.
No, he shook his head no.
Oh.
I was listening to the story intently.
That is an awesome story.
Yeah, I think that it's part of the maturing process, being able to respond immediately or quick. It can be just quickly. But I think as we mature, it does become easy. I think the coolest part about that is you didn't even recognize it until you're on your way home.
Right.
Because it was just like, it was almost more natural instead of, I'm guessing in the past it would have been like, you could even see that moment and I don't know, it's going to get awkward, or I'm not sure, or maybe later, but you didn't even seem like you even had that kind of thought. And
maybe I do better when it's not planned.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if Brett didn't have anything to, or do you have anything to share on the obey God immediately, or we can move along to the next one otherwise?
Yeah, we can move along. I think, yeah, those five points are good. I was going to bring up God's timing, but I guess you can obey immediately if God tells you wait. So then you immediately have to wait, right? Because not everything is like, just do it now.
Sure, that's part
so
of
obedience. So it is like, if you're hearing God and he wants you to do something and you ask him, okay, is it time to do it now? And he says no, then part of your obedience in doing it immediately is immediately don't do it until he says to do it.
Because really he's calling you to bite your tongue.
Yeah.
So it's like, am I going to obey and bite my tongue, or am I going to just do it the way I want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. Mm-hmm. Did you have anything, Damon, on
immediate? Not necessarily on the, well, it is kind of in the immediate, but it's regarding the obedience part. I think one of the things that the Lord has been convicting me of is like the integrity aspect of obedience in terms of specifically for myself. So again, not speaking for anybody else, but specifically for myself, like especially during worship time, you know, there's a lot of songs that talk about like raising our hands or like I'm on my face or, and it, and I feel like the Lord's been convicting me of like, okay, if you're going to say that, are you actually going to do that? Mm. Like what's coming out of your mouth, I want there to be integrity for you between what's coming out of your mouth and what you're doing. So if you're going to say, I'm raising my hands, well, then you better be raising your hands right now. Or, okay, better be is probably not the right wording, but like, this is the type of person that I've made you to be, is a person of integrity. So when you're, if you don't want to raise your hands right now, then don't say that, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, so there was a few weeks ago, there was a song, and on this, in the song, it was talking about like, I'm lying on my face, or I don't remember which song it was, but, and I was sitting behind the computer, and it was the week that Kyle had said, we're not going to put the lyrics on the wall or on the screen. So normally I'd be like, okay, I'm doing the worship slides, so I have a job to do. Like, it gives me an out to not do it, right? And I was like, oh man, God's been convicting me of this integrity thing. I technically don't have to change the slides, so I don't have to be sitting here right during this song. If I'm going to say this, then I need to, like, get on my face, right? And so I was wrestling. I was like, okay, if I don't do this now, the song's going to end. I just need to do it, right? So I got on my, I got down, I got, came out of the sound booth, went on the floor. And I always wrestle with the, man, what are people going to think? Are the people going to think, especially being in the back? I don't know. And then afterwards, it's like, oh, actually, I feel good that I did it, that I responded in that way. So I think sometimes, too, we, like Zach was saying, we get into our own head and we think about what are people going to think or what's going to happen. And sometimes when we just obey, then afterwards it's like, oh, I'm glad I did that.
And I think God actually invites us into the place of just asking him, do you want me to do that? Because I don't think every time the lyrics come on and you say, I'm going to raise my hands, that you even have to, but is your heart willing? And that's what God wants to know. And there's like, in that same service, I think it was the same song probably. It was Echo Holy. Or it might have been that one or maybe a different one. But I had that same thought. I saw somebody else near me go up to the front and was like kind of prostrate on the ground. And I almost felt like, okay, I'm supposed to do that too. And then I was asking the Lord, like, okay, do you want me to do that? And I didn't feel like he said yes or no. I had the choice. And I felt like I was in a place of receiving from him, and it was good, and I didn't need to go to that place to, to gain anything, but it was like, no, it was okay to stay where I was. So I felt like I checked in, and it was okay not to do it, but I've had it other times where he's told me, and then I've resisted, or, oh, next song, but then the next song has a totally different feel to it, and then, oh, no, now I can't do it, or, so I've experienced the different elements. So I totally appreciate and like what you're describing. But I think for our listeners too, even going to that place of just asking God, like, do you want me to do this? And then sometimes he'll say, I think sometimes he gives you affirmative. Yeah. Like, I want you to do it right now. Or sometimes it's no, just if you want to, but I just want to know where your heart is.
Yeah. So since we switched over to the topic of willingness, I have a couple recent examples of that too. So a few weeks ago, so I've shared on the podcast, I'm in the middle of marathon training, right? So
you're not in the middle, you're almost to the end of it.
But okay, so the part that I'm at is like the heavy lifting part, right? Okay, so there's multiple like 20 mile runs. I'm in the thick of things, right?
I drive 20 miles all the time, man.
All right. Okay. So a few weeks ago, I was supposed to run 19. I had to switch my race, so I had to speed up my training and stuff and just rearrange things. So one of the weeks, I was supposed to run 19, and I was only supposed to run... Normally, I'll run 3 20-mile runs in a training cycle. This time, because I had to condense everything, I was like, I'm only going to do two. So I get out the door to go run 19, and then... like within the first mile, I felt like the Lord asked me, are you willing to go the extra mile? I was like, I already have to run 19. So you want me to run 20? And it wasn't a clear, I want you to run 20. It was, are you willing to run the extra mile? So kind of like Kyle was saying, he gave me the choice. Like, what's my willingness level? So I kind of sat with it for a couple seconds, like, yeah, I'm willing to, because I know that if you're asking me to do it, then you'll give me what I need to complete it. So I go and I'm running, and then in my mind I'm trying to calculate, okay, if I go here, then it'll get me to this this distance. And then I was getting towards the end, and I was coming up to this point where it's like, okay, I think I'm going to finish right around 19 and a quarter, 19 and a half. That'll complete my thing. And then I felt like the Lord said, okay, you said earlier that you're willing to go the extra mile. Now's the rubber meets the road. I want you to go to this house and pray for this house, and it's going to get you over 20. How do you feel about that? I was like, okay, well, I said I was willing to go the extra mile, so I'll go. So I ended up doing the 20. So this past week, I was supposed to do another 20, and then I set out, and I felt like the Lord said, like, I want you to, are you willing to go over here? And it was like to Long Beach State. Wow. And that was it was too far. I couldn't even calculate what that would be like. And I was like, okay, the last time the Lord asked me to do that, I said I was willing, and I knew that he would give me what I needed to do it. So I was like, okay, am I willing to do it? Yes, I'm willing to do it. And then I felt like he said, okay, well, you don't have to. I was like, okay, good.
Well, get in this Uber.
And I mean, it was this past Sunday, right? So it was like daylight savings. We had a decently late night from karaoke night and game night, which was super fun. And I was like, oh man, am I willing to go? Yeah. But do I want to go? I really don't want to. And then I felt like he said, like, it's okay. I just wanted to check your willingness, right? Mm-hmm. So kind of like I was saying, sometimes it's just to see if you're willing to do it. And then then he'll say if he actually wants you to do it or not. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily that he's telling you have to do it every single time.
I think some of that right there ties in with obey God even if it doesn't make sense. Because there's sometimes like, well, why do I have to do this? He gave you the house to go pray for, but the Long Beach State one, he didn't really give you a reason of why to go over there, I don't think, right? I don't think you shared that with me, at least.
No, there wasn't.
Yeah, so then it's like, okay, it doesn't make sense. It's going to mess up my schedule. It might be way over miles. And okay, but yeah, if that's what you want. But it's sometimes it's those kind of asks that he puts in front of us that it's a challenge of the will, but it's a challenge of like rational thinking and like all those kind of things that can come into play.
I think out of all of the points that John Bevere lists, this one is the one that trips me up the most. Mm. In general, I think obedience, not that it's easy for me, but I think my mindset towards it has almost like trained myself to step into that and be obedient more easily than I think I used to look at it. But that one for sure is the trickiest in terms of like an internal wrestling for myself. And I think it's partially just how I'm wired is understanding the why. And so that directly correlates to when it doesn't make sense or not understanding the why, are you going to be obedient? And so I think in a lot of smaller areas or just certain things where for myself, where the why somehow I just calculate in my head, it's not that big of a deal, then it's not hard. But when it comes to something that is a lot more weighty and there's the why is a little bit unclear, that's when I think I get tripped up the most.
I'm there with you. It's not easy for me. How about for you, Zach? Is this one hit home or is this one not as
not so struggling? Much. Maybe it does, but I'm trying to think of an example, but nothing comes to mind. But just kind of going off of what you guys are saying, I agree. You know, it's I do look for the why, and I guess just resort to, you know, what makes sense. I'm pretty analytical. Like I think I'm more of a thinker, so I think about it, try to figure out if it makes sense. But I've also accepted the fact that, you know, our life following Christ is different, and that our new normal is just going to look different.
Yeah, I think this one is, I don't know, I'm not sure if it's harder, but I think Brett and I are both thinkers. So like a thinker views this one a lot, maybe as a different kind of challenge. And it really has to, for me, I have to submit to the Lord's wisdom of like, okay, your ways are higher than my ways. Mm-hmm. And trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, mm-hmm. and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Like that's been it was a verse, especially when I was younger, that really kind of gave me a lane to go down, because there was times where things didn't make sense and it was hard. And I'm like, but that doesn't make sense. And mm-hmm. like, I wanted things to make sense because that's the way I'm wired. But I think you have to get to a place where you're okay not understanding the why and what it is, but it's hard. And I'm sure emotional people have a different relationship with that, but for a thinker, it's tough.
Mm-hmm. One of the verses that I use, I just realized it actually has obedience in it, is like, to take my thoughts captive and make them obedient to you. It's like, mm-hmm. in that it's like, okay, whatever I'm thinking about, bad outcomes, what if this happens, or why should I do this? Sometimes it's like to just settle myself before the Lord and say, okay, like, I don't know, but I'm going to try to align myself and my thoughts with you. And so I'm going to, in faith, step forward, even to me, if it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I know that you see the bigger picture. And so there is a definite amount of submission. And I think that's where my faith grows a lot, because it's like having to trust in something greater than myself. Mm-hmm. And so I know that's an area that I continually am challenged and pushed in.
I think faith is a big one, because Pastor Barry actually lumped 2 and 3 together, and 3 is there's no obvious benefit. And I think that takes faith to know, okay, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense, but I have faith that there is a benefit, not just for me, but there's a reason for it. And I have to trust that even if I don't know what it is, and I might not ever find out what it is, I'm okay still stepping into it. But that the faith element is huge.
Yeah, I think for me, one of the things that the Lord has challenged me with is, am I okay with the why being because I said so? Mm. Right? And I think
it's my kid's favorite saying.
So I think for me, that's one of the things that I've had to really struggle with, is like, am I going to be okay with that? Mm. And I mean, the Lord is gracious too. So I think a lot of times when I have wrestled with that and said, okay, I'm going to try to be okay with that, there has been a graceful like outcome at the end, right? It's like last year when I shared about running around Dylan's school, and then, you know, the screaming and all that stuff, and later the Lord saying, like, the teacher was showing that movie, and some of these things that are happening on the campus partially because of what you did in that. And I was like, oh, I would never even have thought of that. And so even if the Lord had told me that in advance, like, I'd be like, that's not Paul. Mm-hmm. Right. So him just doing it because he said so is like, okay, I think receiving things like that has actually helped me to keep doing it. Right. Mm-hmm. So when he's shared with me, like, this was an outcome of that, it's like, oh, well, I didn't know why I did that in the first place, other than you said so. Okay, I have more faith that I can do that again because it turned out good. Or, you know, like, so I think that's been helpful for me.
For me, because I'm in this study of reading the Bible through the year, I'm currently just starting Deuteronomy, but I just finished Numbers, and it helps that there's a commentator that explains what's going on, because it can get a little lengthy and long and boring very quickly. And it's just been eye-opening to me. And again, I think maybe it does have, you know, for me, because I am more of a thinker, that, you know, when I do hear stories about God and how, you know, what his character is like, mm-hmm. it's like, wow, like, I never realized that this is the kind of God that we serve. And at any moment, like, he can strike and mm-hmm. strike down on us, or, you know, we could die. Maybe not to death, but who knows? But anyway, for me, I think once I'm obedient, I think either during or after, I feel it. Like, I feel like, let's say I'm praying for someone, and I, you know, God told me to go pray for someone, and I prayed for that person, and my leg starts to shake, or my feet just, like, I feel like my body is just trembling before God. Mm-hmm. And before, I couldn't explain it, but then as I'm reading, you know, these are kind of the side effects, I guess, of praying to, you know, a holy God. And so to me, it makes sense kind of in the backward matter, but, you know, that's kind of where I try to make the connection and align to mm-hmm. it. And, you know, a lot of people do don't walk by faith. They kind of want the evidence. They want to see the miracle happen before them, before they can be obedient. But to me, I look forward to the miracle or the alignment that happens after the fact that I've been obedient. So that's what keeps me like going back for more and, you know, just to keep relying more on and dependent on God.
I think it's interesting. I'm in week five for my own personal reading, and he brings in the story of Abraham and Isaac and him sacrificing him, or God asking him to sacrifice. And he brings in a good point, and I think we forget it, that Abraham didn't know how the story was going to end, right? And so we can look at it from after the fact, and after the fact of obedience, you learn from it. But it's like when you're in the middle of it, it's different. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I don't know where this is going. I don't understand it. This is going to be painful. This doesn't make sense. All those kind of things can be there. And then like, that's what you were saying, Brett, that's the faith part. But in the middle of it, it's like, you have logical reasons. You have health reasons. You have all these different reasons of why you should say no or step away or step out of that area. And then for Abraham, it's just, he kept going forward, and it was like, all he knew was that he was supposed to sacrifice him. And so up until that point when God, like the angel came and said, no, don't lay a hand on him. Up until that point, he was like still fully going, and like, wow, that was such a test of his obedience that we kind of lose in the fact of, oh, we knew how it was going to turn out. God was going to provide, and Jehovah Jireh, then it's all good. But no, for him, it wasn't.
And that leads us into the next topic, which is obey despite the possible pain. Because, I mean, think about it. For Abraham, right, he's 100 years old before Isaac is born, and then he raises him, and now God's going to take him away in that Senate because he doesn't know the end of the story. He doesn't know that God is going to bring the actual sacrifice out of the woodworks, right? He's going under the assumption that Isaac is going to be the sacrifice, and he kept obeying even despite possible pain, and that's a rough one.
It is. Able to jump in on that.
Well, I mean, I think that's where some of its core in this obedience, it is trusting in God's character and this idea of if God is like, is it good enough because I said so? I kind of look at it in the extreme example of, you know, a lot of times God is faithful and he's gracious and he's a provider. And so a lot of times in these situations, like even ones that like Damon, you mentioned, it helps us build our obedience because we do get to see something after. God does come through one way or another. But I think I've really been wrestling recently if the gift or the substitute or the pleasant moment doesn't come is because I said so good enough. Because if I know that something is good coming after he says because I said so, then am I really obedient just because he said so? And I know it can be kind of extreme, but I think God has been taking me to at least process some of those deeper things for myself and ask those things. Like I might have mentioned before, I know I've talked with you guys, but like, is your hope really in me and not based off circumstance? I can do stuff, but is it in me? You know, like goodness, all the fruit of spirit that we've been talking about at church. I know I can experience those things, but do you find them in me and me alone? Or is it based off of what I can do or my provision and stuff? And there's a part of me that's like, I don't want to think about that. Like, why do you have to take me to that place? But I do think it produces a different level of obedience, perseverance in that time of potential suffering or it feeling uncomfortable or not seeing the benefit. That's not the scapegoat or the thing that's going to convince you. It's I'm already convinced. And so whatever it is what it is, and I'm kind of going to stick through it. Whereas sometimes I can find myself like, I think it could happen a different, you know, like I weasel my way out, mm-hmm. essentially. Mm-hmm. And so stripping it down to saying, because I said so, period. And it's like, okay, is there anything else? And there's nothing. I'm like, okay, that's something I really have to wrestle with. And can I reconcile and be okay with that? And to be honest, there's been times when I'm thinking about it where I'm like, no, I don't think so. Mm. And then I have to ask myself like, well, why then? Mm. And then, yeah, that's a whole nother where I'm like, okay, why do I have to think about this? But I think it's good for me to look at it in that way. Because I mean, life in general is not always going to go your way. And so can you remain obedient even in like the storm, right? And that's, I want to be able to say yes. And so in my heart, I hope I could get there. And so I guess part of getting there is wrestling through these things.
I think along with that, it's wrestling with things like what is really good, mm-hmm. right? Because you said, what if the good doesn't happen? But mm-hmm. well, what if it's, the good happens, but it's just because it didn't match your definition of what is mm-hmm. good. Mm-hmm. And so you have to even put that on the line of like, oh, what if the outcome isn't what I really want and desire, and it's still good and it's good for me, but that might not even be seen for even longer term. Mm-hmm. But that's a hard one to let, like, oh, I don't know if I like that. you mm-hmm. know, it's like, mm-hmm. that's a tough one. But I think the other thing that you mentioned is like perseverance, because I really think obedience is like, we kind of talked a little bit before with Zach, that it's like a muscle, right? It's really something that has to be developed. And I do want to point out that the whole story with Abraham and Isaac, I mean, that's not like just something God threw him into, you know, after a day of knowing God, right? It's mm-hmm. like he was a friend of God. That's what it describes him. So, I mean, this is a journey he's been on. And he had that kind of intimacy where, you know, if God tells me that this is what's supposed to happen and this is what's good, then I'm going to do it because I trust him. And so I don't want people to get like discouraged, like, oh, I can never get to that place. That's too far away. Because it's just really that idea of developing that muscle. So mm-hmm. take that little steps, the little acts of obedience, like what you did with your dad, Zach, that you stepped into that and it didn't even like cross your mind to like, oh, this is going to be scary or whatever. And like, mm-hmm. Maybe I should or shouldn't. And then that to me shows that you've had steps of obedience along the way where that muscle now is like, oh, that's something that maybe would have tripped me up before. But now it's like, oh no, that's just more natural. It just came out without even thinking about it.
Right. And I think a picture came to mind, Brett, as you were sharing of like a training wheel. Right. Mm-hmm. And I'm just kind of process that. But it's kind of like having training wheels, faith, you know, training wheels on us. And it's part of a process, part of the season that we're in, what works, what doesn't work, and trying different things. And, you know, sometimes we think that God puts us to the test and sometimes it's not. But, I think that, you know, I think God does set us up for success. Mm-hmm. He's always good. He can't be anything but good. So, I love that song, by the way. And I think we get to a point where, you know, like, okay, I know there's something good that's going to come out of this. So I'm just going to, you know, go with the flow. But then you kind of have to also know that your hope and trust is getting tested. And part of that growing is, you know, trying not to get that hope, you know, deferred. You know, we try to secure and protect our hearts from what evil tries to do. And, yeah, I think the training wheels is a pretty accurate picture to me for that.
Mm. All right, so I have a question for you guys. In our last episode, we talked about rewards. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, do you guys feel like that's one of the reasons that he put the rewards section before the obedience section? Mm. So that it just helps us to have that framework of, we might not experience some of these things or the benefits of obedience in while we're on earth, but there is an eternal consequence meaning in a good way, of obedience that comes afterwards. And just don't lose sight of that. Yeah, it might be painful now, but there's what you're doing now in obeying, there is a heavenly consequence to that. Or you might not see the benefit now or the return on investment now, but the Lord does, and you'll see it later. Mm-hmm. Like, do you feel like that had anything to do with why that section, which we felt like it kind of stood apart from a lot of the other stuff he was saying in that week before he got to the obedience section?
Yeah, I think there's probably intentionality in doing that. I think we've discussed just off air that you could intertwine some of these different chapters and put them in different places, but I think that does help. It is interesting to go on this topic real quick. After we recorded last week, I'm like, okay, what is really the issue with that idea of rewards? And I really think I was kind of digging a little bit. I think it's the word itself. I think in our society, reward, it has a certain meaning. And I think that kind of throws it off of what it really, the intention. So even like that, like it's a consequence, but it's like a good consequence. So I'm not sure the right word to use to replace it. I was trying to mess around with some things and nothing really like was solidified. But I think sometimes it's just that word and the way we use it. Like you get a reward for solving a crime or, you know, things like that. It's just, it's different than what I think the intent is behind it used in the Bible. And so I think that kind of throws us off. But for me personally, I've used that idea of the heavenly reward. I've actually used it since I was pretty young in my faith, more in the sense of keeping an eternal perspective, because there's been times where the seasons have been hard, and that's always something I could come back to of that. That's where I can try to not have the deferred hope is like, okay, well, I know the outcome. I know if I stay on the course, then I know the outcome is good. And I know there's going to be a benefit to it. Even if right now it doesn't make sense, even if right now it hurts, it's painful. So in a sense that, doing good now or doing the right way, even if the consequences are in the world system are negative, like that gave me hope to say like, no, but it's worth it. It will be worth it in the long run. Even if I didn't have to go through the steps of quantifying it and, oh, what's it going to look like? How much? And what is that? It's just, I didn't need to even go there. It's just like, it's going to have a payoff at the end. And I trust that that's what the Bible says.
That was my mom's go-to with building character. You're building,
all right, Nancy, I love it.
You're building eternal treasures. I'm like, oh my gosh. Well, can I get some earthly ones right now? Because I can't wait that long.
I love it. Do you guys have any thoughts on the rewards? I know for you, you haven't gone to that. You haven't read that chapter yet because your small group's a little bit behind.
Yeah, we just started.
Right?
So I just finished week one. But going back to last Sunday's message from Pastor Barry, he, after going through all of, you know, what we basically kind of talked about, he showed a picture of Jesus on the cross, beaten and bloody and hanging from the cross. And to me, you know, I think he was asking, like, is this good enough? Is what you're trying to achieve or the obedience that you put forth, is Jesus good enough? And maybe there's a better explanation to it. I'm sure there is, but I did deliverance way back during COVID, and one thing that kind of stuck with me was that the pain that I endured in the past, you know, kind of the things that I had gone through, essentially, Jesus also went through that when he was on earth. He was accused. He was, you know, pretty much everything that we feel that is, you know, when the world convicts you, you feel like it's an attack on you, but it's really an attack also on what Jesus essentially endured too. And so I just kind of remind myself that, you know, whenever there's a target on me or, you know, there's something done or said to me, that it was also said and done to him as well. And to that, I guess that kind of brings perspective in a way that it's not really all about me. Yeah, that's what I think of.
Yeah, I think part of the illustration that Pastor Barry used with showing Jesus is Jesus's obedience to the Father, right? And he was willing to go through all five of these, right? It's like he obeyed immediately, even though from an earthly perspective, you know, there's not a return on investment. There's no benefit. There's pain, definite pain involved, right? And then that leads us to the last one, which is to completion, right? He obeyed to completion. He didn't, you know, he wasn't on the cross like, all right, get me off this thing. I can't do it all the way, right? He obeyed until it was finished. And he even said, right, it's finished, right? And so everything that he was called to do, he did it. And he set the example for us of what it looks like to live a life in wholehearted surrender and full obedience to the Father. And he gave us the example of what that looks like, even when, you know, it totally goes against a worldly perspective of why you should be motivated to do different things, right? And I think that's part of what Pastor Barry was talking about in showing Jesus too, is just he's the example for us of what it looks like and how it benefited us, right? So sometimes our obedience, we look at it through the perspective of, how is this going to benefit me? And sometimes that's not who the benefit's for anyway. Sometimes in our obedience, the benefit is for somebody else, mm-hmm. right? And we are the beneficiaries of Jesus's obedience. But the Bible also says that he receives us as his reward, right? And so we are able to be back into relationship because of his obedience. And he views that as a reward for himself. So in that, our obedience can be seen through all these different lenses and all these different ways, but really it's in response to who God is and how awesome and amazing and just who he is. That's really where the obedience should come from, is because of who God is.
Yeah, I think this one actually is one of the more convicting ones. So it's hard on a different level, but it's more like, because it really gets to my motivations and the internal struggle, and it kind of has to bring it to the light. And, you know, John Bevere in the book, he writes, almost complete obedience isn't obedience at all. Mm. And I know for myself, I can get to that place of, well, it's good enough or it's close enough. And a lot of things that's fine. And that's okay. But when we're in the place of dealing with our obedience to what God's asking us to do, it's like, oh, but that's not fully doing the task. And it's not about the task and the earning. It's about, are you going to finish what I ask you to do? And then in the back of the chapter, there he has ponder points. And that's why I really encourage people, even if you haven't started reading the book yet, get it and start going through it. Because at the end of each chapter, there's like these, there's a passage, there's a point, there's a ponder and a prayer. And I think some of these are really good. And so on this week's about surrendering to completion, the ponder is, have I started to obey God's word and allowed distractions, pleasure, resistance, disapproval of others, or any other adversity to cause me to cease and not finish? How can this change? And it's like, oof. That's a hard one, because that's like there's times where I've done it to completion, and it's good, and it feels like, okay, God's pleased and he says well done. But how many times have I not done it? And I've done most of it, but I didn't want to do the last part. Maybe that's the harder part or the uncomfortable part. Well, I did enough, and it's better than not doing it at all. Like I can get into those kind of thoughts in my head, and like, yeah, it's, I'm just reading that, it was like, oh, that's convicting.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about it is, you know, the first point of it being immediate, you know, that's probably self-explanatory, but I feel like the other ones, you can experience it multiple times through the same thing that you're supposed to be obedient in. I think always we think about the initial decision to do something or the beginning of it, but yeah, I can see the example, like, I feel like my parents have modeled this pretty well, but even in them and their decisions to move or go through different things, it's like, okay, the initial decision, you check all of those things. Okay, now you made your decision. Well, now in the midst of it, it's not just like it's over, right? It's continued obedience. It's asking God, okay, God, do you still want me to be here or do you still want me to do this? And he says, yes. Most likely those things are going to come up again. Well, it sucks. Actually, I started doing it and I don't like it. Or I started to do it. I don't get why I'm doing it anymore.
I don't see the benefit.
I don't see the benefit. It's starting to hurt. I think throughout our decisions and the follow through, that's probably even a greater part of the testing of the obedience. It's like Damon running 19 miles, and then he's like, well, you said you were going to do 20. He's like, but I ran 19, so I pretty much did it, right? But then he's saying it's where the rubber meets the road. It's being about it. It has to be fully done. And so, I think for people to just keep in mind that if some of these points pop up more than once, like, that's okay. But it's just continuing to remind yourself that it's a part of being obedient. Sometimes it's a process or it's longer than just a quick decision. And sometimes it's drawn out for a long time. And so that doesn't make it sound any more fun or enjoyable, but if God is calling you to it, then he'll see you through it.
I think that's really good, Brett, to highlight that there's times where it's, oh, go pray for this person during service. And that's like a thing, and it has a beginning and it ends shortly after. And those are great steps of obedience and it helps build that muscle. But then there's those other ones that are like more the endurance ones of, oh, I'm calling you into this season of such and such for somebody else or for yourself, or and it's like up and down and it's like a roller coaster. Well, I thought it was going to end already. When I said yes, I didn't think it would be this long. And that's where it's like, oh, like, no, that example is really good.
I thought that's where you were going to go. It's like, oh, I said yes to pray for this person, and then that actually ended up leading to this and this and this and this. And then,
well, that could too, but I'm just saying, like, sometimes those things are just, you pray for somebody and it's like, oh, it's over. And sometimes that can open up a door for an ongoing thing as well. But yeah,
the picture I got when you were talking about the completion part was, if I ask my kids to clean their room and they do like 50% and I'm like, oh yeah, I cleaned my room. It's like, no, you didn't. It's still messy.
You started to clean your room. Yeah. You started to obey.
I think that's why Pastor Barry incorporated the fast during this series of Awe of God, because I think that's, you know, for some of us, maybe we've done it before. We could do it again, right? But people like me, I've only done it a few times, and I just recently finished one, and I got to almost day two, and I didn't really commit to, oh, one day or 2 days. I kind of said, I'm just going to go as long as I can, and then didn't put an end goal to it. I don't know if that was better, but by like day and a half, like, I started getting hunger pains, and I'm like, oh, this is, I'm sure, normal, but, you know, it does refocus your spiritual walk and have a better appreciation for food. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like we are completed for this episode. Zach, thanks for coming on again. Is there any closing words you'd like to say, since, you know, it seems like you're going to come on annually, so it's your last words till next year.
It's at least annually. It's not only.
We would love to have you on more than once a year, but at least once a year until next time. So is there something you'd like to leave us with until next time?
I just want to encourage those who are going through the series of The Awe of God, just to keep going. I think journaling is something that Pastor Barry always tries to help you to, you know, like record things, or I think his thing is more of the daily habits. Those are good. I try to get my kids to do one push-up a day. I think they stop doing it the next day. But I just want to encourage people to just keep going, whatever it is that you're pushing to draw near to God, whatever that may be, just to create a daily habit. I know it's hard, but yeah, just to look for someone at Catalyst that can be your accountability partner, maybe even, because I know it's hard for a lot of people, and me included. So yeah, just encourage everyone.
So another habit that's become something that's normal is that when we're about to be finished, Kyle has something else that he wants to say. So Kyle,
wow,
it's your turn.
Wow. I don't know if I like that. I was going to leave a word of encouragement. I was actually going to give her some time to think, and I was going to share something, but you went right into it. It was good. No, I just wanted to encourage people, because chapters 5 and 6 start to get to more of the good stuff of, like, yeah, there's all this, there's these sacrifices, this understanding the fear of the Lord, this obedience, and that. But then it starts to get into, but this is what you get, and this is what comes with it. And so I think we're getting towards the end, at least in the sermon series, and that's where there's some really awesome things that he brings in. But in the small groups, I know they're further behind, but continue to push in, continue to like dive into it, because you need to wrestle with that harder stuff to make the stuff that he gives at the end have more deeper meaning and have more impact in your life.
It's like we tell our kids, you got to eat your meal first before you get the dessert. Exactly. So we are in the middle of chewing on our meal, and the dessert is still coming. So thanks again, Zach, for coming on. We appreciate the last minute call to come on, and you responded immediately and said yes. So we thank you. And as always, we had an awesome conversation with you. So looking forward to having more guests on, like we've been making a call for. If you would like to come on, especially during this series,
we should ask Zach if she wants to call anybody
out. Oh, Zach, do you want to call anyone out?
I don't want to be the bad guy.
Okay, well, maybe you can do it off air, and then we can go and find them.
There you go.
So we know that this series has been causing people to have a lot of different questions or a lot of different thoughts. So like we've been saying, if you have questions and you want to send them to us, you can either send them to us through email, you could talk to us on Sunday, or you can just ask to be a guest, and we'd love to have you come on. Yeah, so good talking to all you guys, and we will talk again next week. And hopefully our guest that didn't make it today will be on next week, and you guys will be all amazed at who it is.
And I want to get the last word in. Oh, just kidding. Hey, I had to throw it back at you, man. Like, come on.
He's trying to be first again, because, you know, the first will be last and the last will be first. He's trying to be. All right, so we're done fooling around. Until next time, may you experience God's heart for you to flourish in every season.